Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to the prediction show. I didn't set the correct intro video, so we're just here. We don't need a countdown. We're just here, everyone. Get used to it. Get with it. Okay, I am joined today by SP3, man who does more podcasts than anyone. I saw you tag me in a tweet earlier, and it was all the shows you were doing today. And I was like, man, when do you ever get a break? When do you ever rest?
I literally did back to back. I went from True Hill Heat doing the AE Ramble show, reviewing Dynamite last night, right into here. I literally told everybody, just join me over here. I'm going to be on Fight Club like 1 minute.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for joining me. I feel like it's been ages since we talked. And then I remember the last show we did together was absolutely cursed. Do you remember what it was?
Was it Crown Jewel or?
No. It was. In my opinion, one of the most cursed pay-per-views of all time. Well, in recent memory.
Bad Blood.
Nope.
No? What was it?
It was AEW World's End 2023.
Oh my God. That was the last one we did? Literally, like one of the worst, a rare worst AEW pay-per-view. Like the worst one since All Out 2020.
It was a cursed show. And I feel like I remember doing the show and I was going into that pay-per-view thinking like this show's gonna be really bad and there's a lot of issues, and I was like super negative, and I saw these people people just hated me afterwards, and then I think I was proven right because it was a cursed show. Like I think that's probably the worst show they've ever done, and like their standard's really high, so even when they don't hit the high standard, like it's still really good, but like that show was cursed.
Rare. It's like I said, rare like L for pay-per-view. The one thing they do right is pay-per-view. So when you have a bad one, we jinxed them. So we'll take credit for it. Thank you.
We will. So this is like, I hope we're going to be talking about a really good show now, because I think this does look like on paper, like it's going to be a really good show. So I'm excited to talk to you about it. Elimination Chamber. It's from Toronto, where they spent like the entirety of last year. So it's like it's wild that this big thing's going on in Toronto and like I'm not there, but you know, I have so many friends that are going and I think it's going to be like such a great night. I am jealous, but yeah, it's there's a lot on here. There's a lot to get onto, and I think that there's something that we're going to talk about that's not a match that we'll probably spend most of our time talking about. So
like the most intriguing thing on the show is not a match.
For sure. It's, you know, we're really close to WrestleMania. Like we're in that WrestleMania season. The Rumble's over. Sometimes when the Rumble's over, you just know what's happening at WrestleMania. or sometimes you don't. Sometimes a disruptor comes and leaves us all wondering what the heck we could be in for. But yeah. All right, I'm ready. So before we get into it, we're going to hear from our sponsors at the wonderful Bet Online, as told to us by our overlord, Sean Rossap. So let's go see Sean's lovely face.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag. Look at all the happy people betting in those videos. It's great, isn't it? All right. Let's place our bets, SP3. And you can put in the chat who you think are going to win the matches that we will be talking about. And we are starting with Miss Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus versus Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. It's a tag team title match. Tiffany Stratton, she's got Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. What do you think about this match, SP3? Who have you got as your winner?
I like this match on paper. I haven't really liked the build-up because they've been making one of my all-time favorites, Trish Stratus, look like an ineffective babyface who can't make the save for Tiffy.
On SmackDown, it was like she came out and then she kind of disappeared at some point. It's just like...
It was so weird. They did that first angle and it was like, oh, you have Hall of Famer Trish Stratus coming in to make the save to set up this tag match in her hometown. And then she just got beat up and disappeared. Yeah. And then
it feels like that thing of where they sometimes get a little bit muddled when they have two directions, because Tiffany's direction is obviously Charlotte and they're trying to plug Charlotte in, but then at the same time they're trying to team her with this legend, all-time great, who's also wrestling in their hometown, so it's all like there's too many pieces on the board for them to make, you know, a good sense like storyline out of it.
Yes, I love the picture that Tiffany and Trish put out where they look like mother and daughter, but really like sisters, because Trish is in the fountain of youth and hasn't aged since like 1999. It's crazy. But
I think they do give like sister vibes, and it's very cool.
Yeah, I love it. But I definitely got Trishy and Tiffy time picking up the victory here. I think that that WWE really is showing you how much they value Nia Jax. The amount of time that Nia Jax has been called on for these spots in the last couple of months. Like, if Naomi needs a good title match on TV, throw in Nia Jax. Oh, Rhea Ripley needs a challenger on Saturday night's main event? Throw her Nia Jax. Oh, Tiffy needs a rival to turn babyface? Throw her Nia Jax. Oh, Trish Stratus is coming back in Toronto? Throw her Nia Jax. It's really a very kind of stamp of approval for Nia. So I do like that because I am a Nia Jax fan. But yeah, Trish and Tiffy for the win. What about you?
I wasn't a Nia Jax fan, but this second run, I mean, everyone has said it, but she's come back so much better. And I think that's made me a Nia Jax fan. I think she's finally like fully playing to her strengths. She's always good with the character work. You know, she's not the best worker, but she's got the character stuff down. And now she's good enough, I think, in these matches. I have Tiffany and Trish as well. I don't think they'll have Trish lose in Canada. I don't think they'll have Tiffany lose before a Mania match. My only hope is that they do not put Charlotte Flair on commentary, because that was painful on SmackDown. Like, that was painful. What? Like what was that?
I was like, you're literally there. You're not saying anything. They literally are like, what do you think about this, Charlotte? Oh, she's,
The thing is, SB3, she's unobtainable. That's what she is.
You know, this Stephanie, I don't know if you realize, but this is a new Charlotte character. You remember those reports? She's a top girl now. It's a new Charlotte player character that they're doing. And it's the same thing.
It's the same thing for a decade. I miss when she was obtainable. Remember, like, all the other times where we were like, oh, she's just so obtainable. She's just like the girl next door. She's like every girl, you know? But now she's unobtainable. It felt like she learned the word unobtainable that morning, and it pushed every other word out of her brain because she had nothing to say. And I think that Tiffany, like, she's been doing really well and she's like holding her own. But right now, as far as her Mania program goes, she is pitted with someone that just kind of just doesn't give back. Like, it's not a good back and forth. It's not a good volley. It's like, she's going to have to do some extra lifting, and she's as good as she is, like, she is inexperienced, so I just feel sorry for her. But, like, please don't put Charlotte in commentary unless you've got someone in her ear literally, like, feeding her lines, because that was so bad on SmackDown.
It's really crazy to me because, like I was telling you before we went live, I did a top 10 greatest WWE women's wrestlers of all time, and and Sasha Banks both were in my top five. But I'm watching Mercedes Moné on AEW and then watching this current Charlotte Flair fan. They are like the reverse and then the bell rings. You know how everybody, they're good characters. They got this good entrance. They're all that. And then the bell rings and then it's bad. They're the reverse and then the bell rings. That everything's great when the bell rings, but everything before that is not.
For sure. For sure. I just want to say that your list was bullshit because you didn't have Mae Young on it. Like, absolute bullshit. Like, I'm joking, guys. Check his replies and you'll get it. Check his replies.
Pardon me for that.
Okay. So we can at least agree we have Tiffany and Trish winning that one. Let's stick with the women, SB3, since you are now an expert. And we're going to go to the Women's Elimination Chamber, where we've got Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez. The winner is going to take on Rhea Ripley, or are they? Because Io Sky has a title match with Rhea Ripley, I think, next week on Raw, right? So that maybe that throws a spanner in the work. Gosh, I find this one hard to predict, because you've got Liv and Rhea seems like we've been there, done that, very much so. Bianca is tied up in this what happened to Jade situation. Alexa is just, she's just back, and I'm not sure about that one. Bayley, like, love Bayley, but that seems like just going back to something as well. Like, just, you know, well, we'll give it to Bayley because that kind of thing. And then Naomi is also tied up in this Jade stuff as well. And then Roxanne Perez is our newbie from NXT. So I just find it hard to, like, pinpoint the direction, because also Rhea was in the whole thing with Liv for so long that it just feels like I'm not too sure. And then putting this Io Sky match up as well. Like, how are you, like, deciphering what's going on with this booking of the Women's Elimination Chamber?
Well, I haven't been the biggest fan of Triple H's booking of the women since, like, SummerSlam. It's not been good. So I was one of the few people who was not surprised by that report by our very own Sean Ross Sapp that some of the women are frustrated with the booking, because I was like, well, yeah, I've been watching. I see that. But
you got to have such sympathy for women wrestlers, because it's like, where do you go if you're frustrated with Triple H? Because I would be very frustrated with Tony Khan too and his usage of women. Like, I mean, it's like, I don't know, get no storyline in WWE, or sitting catering at Dynamite. I'm not sure. Like, I guess you go down to Shawn Michaels, he's a lot better, really. Or Impact as well, they've always been good with women, TNA. But anyway, as you were saying.
Yeah, so, yeah, like you said, the options are kind of slim here, because I don't think Liv is going to win, because you've been there, done that with the Rhea rivalry, and she just won the tag team titles. Roxanne Perez, it does seem a little early to go from, you know, NXT and NXT Women's Champion into a women's title match at WrestleMania. And she's kind of occupied with this whole Bayley rivalry that started on NXT. I agree with you. Bayley, they did not do her any service with winning the championship last year and how they treated her title run. So I wouldn't want to go back to that. So really, and Alexa Bliss, we still have to figure out what they're doing as regard as her connection to the Wyatt Six, because they've kind of teased that with the backstage segments that she's been in. Honestly, I think it is down to our former women's tag team champions of Naomi and Bianca. And if it's down to them, I think that I think my prediction is that will be the final two. It will come down to Naomi and Bianca, and Bianca wins to verse Rhea Ripley. I just wish that they would have at least teased it or touched on it that these women were going after Rhea Ripley, because Rhea hasn't been on Monday Night Raw much over the last couple of weeks. Like, she wasn't on 2 weeks ago. She was in a 1 minute promo in the crowd with EO this week to promote her title match. I'm looking forward to that title match, but that title match should have been on this card.
Yeah. Are you certain that Rhea is winning the title match? And what do you think is the logic of them doing it? Because what does that do to EO then if she loses?
I think that EO, unfortunately, despite being the best female worker in the world, I think that it's her and, as far as North America, for sure, North America, EO Sky and like Chris Statlander are the two best female workers to me. And EO is the best in WWE. But she's really good at the tag team wrestling too. So I think that she's going to be whatever they're doing with the tag team titles, they're going to be in. And they kind of already set that up when EO and Dakota beat Liv and Raquel before they won the titles a couple of weeks ago. So I think that EO and Rhea will have a banger matchup on Monday. Rhea Ripley finally beats EO Sky, and then we have our big stare down of Bianca and Rhea. And they got 6 weeks to make that feel like it's worthy of being the WrestleMania main event that we've kind of always thought it was. I thought we were going to get Rhea and Bianca 2 years ago at WrestleMania 39 when Rhea won the Royal Rumble, because all signs were pointing to that until they just said, no, you know what? She's going to verse Charlotte. So this has kind of been a break glass in case of emergency matchup, and they don't have a lot of money matchups for Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. This is one of them, so I'm going with Bianca.
Do you think Naomi is the one that attacked Jade, and do you see Jade like coming back and factoring in any way, or that direction for Mania, Jade and Naomi?
I think it's tough for me to envision though, Steph, them doing a non-title women's match. By the way he's booked over the last 6 months, I don't see them doing a non-title women's match. So in that in mind, I think that the best case scenario for the whole Jade mystery is Jade coming back and not knowing who attacked her. Basically, Jade is Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2000. He's coming back. She's coming back to basically ramp up the investigation of who attacked her. And maybe it leads to Jade and Naomi being a team in that tag team title match at WrestleMania. And then Naomi finally pulling the trigger and revealing it was her all along.
It was her all along. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I think you've convinced me it's Bianca and Rhea. To me, feels like it's going to be the best match that you can do. I think the only thing that stopped me from going all in Bianca is this Jade and Naomi drama. And then a slight worry that they might go like full hog with Alexa Bliss because she's back, which I don't want to happen because I'm not a fan of the Alexa Lily doll Wyatt Six like type stuff. And I just don't want that for Mania, or want that for Rhea. And I feel like she's back, but it's not like she's not like a main player or something. And I just wonder if they're going to pull something else out. So I'm going to join you in predicting Bianca, because that's who I want. Like, that will be a great match. Like, Bianca and Rhea, that will be awesome. And I want that for the girls. But I do hope they do like Naomi and Jade at Mania or something, even though, it's a non-title match. But just because what's the point of doing this big, like, who attacked someone storyline if, like, the payoff is not going to be you know, the biggest thing. It would be a payoff if it was a guy's storyline, you know, a big mania match. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just tough because we now got two mid-card titles too. So we're going to have, like, realistically in your head, you would think they're going to have five women's matches, one for the IC, one for the US, one for the world title, one for the WWE title, and then the tag team titles. So that's five. So you were talking about six? I mean, we're going, that's a little crazy now.
That's crazy. It's not as if there's two nights or something. That's crazy.
Can't have half the matches. What is going on?
People will change the channel.
It's not like the women are the highest rated segments usually. I mean, they are, but you know, you don't know that at all.
No, I hope that I hope they get that. You know, I do, and I think that Jade will like want that. You know, like she's been out for quite a while now, and I think she's pretty good at advocating for herself. I don't know. I could see maybe if there's anyone that they would, any woman they would give like an. I think some of the women's mid card ones, they just don't care enough about the non-women's main event things for them to be like a dead start for a mania or something. So, you know, but we'll see. Let's move on to Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens in an unsanctioned match. Anything can happen. These guys have been friends and rivals their whole careers. And I think that they have done a really good job this time of telling another story. Like, these guys are so awesome. Like, quick plug for Grapple, but they did like the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn story like pre-WWE recently on their Patreon. So people should like check that out to get like more history on them. But I think every time they do it, it's just never boring. It's never boring. And I Kevin does great car promos. He, that man is just, you know, on it in his car. Sammy's always great. He was great in Raw. So I'm really excited for this. And I think it's going to be really violent, like on the high level of WWE violence, what WWE is willing to do. And it's going to be in Canada, their home country. So that makes it even better as well. How are you feeling about this one, SP3?
The only thing that I kind of trepidatious about or hesitant about is where on the card I would want this to go down.
True.
Because you would think that the two chamber matches are going to bookend the show. So do you do it after the women's chamber? Do you do it before the men's chamber? Like, I think after the women's chamber might be the best buy because, you know, it's going to take them like 20 minutes and we'll have to see like 101 commercials to take down the chamber and stuff like that. So we would get up for that matchup after that long break. So I think that would be the best spot for it.
It's hard because for me, like this isn't what I'm wondering where it's going to go in the card. What I'm wondering where it's going to go in the card is the segment we're going to talk about in a bit, right? So factory.
That's going to be long. That's going to probably be longer than this match.
So it's like, is that segment a buffer between the main event and this, or the main event and the chamber? Like, I don't know. This is going to be a hard one to plot out, but sorry.
Good point. No, that was actually a really good point. It might be, the buffer between this this matchup and the men's chamber. But yeah, I am very much looking forward to this. I think this has been the best built matchup on this show. And I am somebody that has followed the Kevin Steen El Generico story since their days in Ring of Honor. I remember when they first came to Ring of Honor and feuded with the Briscoes. To me, that is the greatest tag team feud of my generation. And I was a big Kevin Steen and El Generico fan, Steph. I actually was friends with my good friend, shout outs to Marcus Cash. He was a huge El Generico fan. So you could go back to 2008 Hammerstein Ballroom shows from Ring of Honor on your DVDs or on Honor Club, and you will see a random Spanish dude running around with the El Generico mask and a Canadian flag. On the other side of the Canadian flag, waving the flag, is me usually. Because we were we always, he was a big Kevin El Generico fan. I was a big Kevin Steen fan. Mr. Mm-hmm. Wrestling is my guy. And their rivalry when he turns on him, that final battle 2009, is what got me back. Because I left ROH for a period after Bryan Danielson left the company. Mm-hmm. But I came back for Kevin Steen and El Generico and that year-long rivalry throughout 2010. And I was there live for their last match in Ring of Honor, the Ladder War at Final Battle 2012. Wow. If you have that DVD, you will see me at one point when El Generico gets thrown into the barricade and the barricade breaks. I slap El Generico on the back, on the same back that the barricade just broke. Oh. So that's my claim to fame. I've been attached to this rivalry for the better part of 15 years.
Now I wish that WWE had bought Ring of Honor so that, like, in the build up to this, we had just like little clips with you, like, just, you know, like this footage is now going to waste.
Yo, for real, my attachment to this rivalry, I wanted it even more. But yeah, I just love these two guys together, whether they're tag team, whether they're against one another. But when they're against one another, it's just something special. So mm-hmm. when Kevin dropped him on his head on that Monday Night Raw episode and I saw this was going to happen at Elimination Chamber, I was ready for it. It juiced up my anticipation for the show overall. I think Kevin Owens has done incredible character work. He's a top five wrestling yeah. character right now. And I love where Sami Zayn has approached this. And that promo on Monday was fantastic. Going to mm-hmm. going to Kevin's house, talking to his mother. She's in good spirits, but I couldn't look myself in the mirror afterwards. I was like, oh my God, this is great stuff.
There's one of the best actors in wrestling. Like there's a lot of bad acting in wrestling, like, let's be honest, but they are two of the best actors in wrestling.
I love them so much. But yes, Sammy, you made a mistake. You don't go into this matchup with a broken neck against Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is gonna, I think Kevin Owens is gonna drop him on his neck once, drop him on his neck again, drop him on his neck a third time, and then the referee is just going to stop the matchup. But then Kevin is not going to stop. He's after the matchup. He's going to drop him a fourth time. He's going to pick him up for a fifth time with his lifeless body. And then we hear, I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They understand. Because I think that KO is going to press RKO at WrestleMania. But this match should deliver big time. And I do agree with you. This is going to be the high level of WWE violence.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you why you think they're doing this now instead of at Mania, because that's been something that people have been asking. So you think that it's for Randy Orton to be Kevin's media direction? What about Sammy? Or is he just dead?
I mean, he could be dead. But I think he is going to get a WrestleMania matchup with the guy who's basically been the devil on his shoulder this whole time. I think they're going to try to see if Sammy can make a new star out of Karrion Kross. I think that's where we're going.
This is where I feel like I have an angel and a devil on my shoulder. Because I know it's controversial, but like I can't stand Randy Orton. I get that he, you know, I get that people love him, right? What one of my dearest friends loves him so much, right? But I just have always found him boring, like everything about him boring. And I just have no excitement for Randy Orton. And I just feel like he's just been around for too long. And there's a lot of people that have been around a long time, but like he's just one that sticks out to me, right? So when you say that Randy Orton is going to come out, and that's going to be Kevin's WrestleMania direction, I am just like, fuck that, right? I would rather have Kevin as, like, just fuck this guy. Like, why is this fucking guy, like, why is he coming out and doing this, right? But then the other side of me, I love me some Karrion Kross. I love it. I really like Karrion Kross a lot, and Scarlett. You know, some people might call her the luckiest woman alive. Other people might not, but some people might. So I love Karrion Kross, right? And I've been wanting Karrion Kross, like, you know, to get something. And I get a lot of pushback on my love for Karrion Kross, but like, I'm not saying this guy's the best wrestler ever, right? I'm not saying anything like that, but I like his character work. I like the stuff that he was doing on Instagram, which I think is what got him to the point of like where we're at now. I just really like him. And I want to see Karrion Kross get a big match. So then when you say, well, I think that Sami's WrestleMania direction is Karrion Kross, I'm like, give me that. Okay, yes, I will take that. So it's like, you know, 50-50, right? Maybe I'll have to suffer Randy Orton for Karrion Kross to get his day.
A soul for a soul, as they say. A soul for a soul.
Yes, it is.
The reason why I think it's Orton is, I'm not saying that because I want to see that. I just think that it's kind of obvious because they never did the Kevin Owens or Eddie Orton match. Remember, they promoted it for Crown Jewel only for them to brawl and not have a matchup. And then they did the whole angle where he drops him on his head and he's been out ever since. So there has to be a reason why they never gave us that matchup. And it would have made sense to have Kevin beat Randy Orton to set him up as Cody's next challenger before that rivalry really started heating up at the end of last year into this year, but they never did it. So I was like, okay, it's quite obvious when you take out Randy that you're going to bring him back before WrestleMania to verse Kevin. So I don't think that that's the best option. I would have definitely preferred Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens going at it again at WrestleMania, but they've already faced that WrestleMania 4 years ago. So I also understand where WWE is coming from. And I am into Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross. I think that Karrion Kross has been an exceptional character. My whole issue with Karrion Kross last summer when he was feuding with the New Day is that when the bell rang, I stopped caring. I was like, it was much more interesting when he wasn't wrestling. And the fact that he's gone like 3 months without wrestling, he's become one of the most interesting characters on Monday Night Raw. So let's do more of that build into WrestleMania. And I think Sami Zayn is the one guy that will make me care when the bell rings.
Yeah, I think that as well, like I don't want to get hit for saying I don't like Randy Orton, but let me just say, like, I've been watching him a really long time, and he reminds me of like just a bad, you know, period where it just felt like it was Randy Orton, like all the freaking time, you know. I do think that Kevin, if anyone is going to make things interesting, it's Kevin. And I think as far as the debate that people have been having about this should have been a WrestleMania match, like, I think you're completely right. Like, they've done this at WrestleMania. And I think for two guys like them, what's the next best thing is doing in Canada. Now it's not, you know, it's not Montreal, but it is Canada. And I think that will be just as meaningful for them as well. So I think that, yeah. So winner, I'm going to go for Kevin Owens. Are you the same?
Yeah, I got Kevin getting the win here.
Yeah, and then that just gives us more reason for Karrion to tell Sami, you know, how he feels. We have a super chat here from Jonathan Kentres, who gives $5 to say, expect Randy to go back to his statistic 09 days and hunger to punt KO's head off.
That could be the whole build, him just trying to punt KO's head off, and then it builds to WrestleMania when he finally does it.
If Randy can pull something like really good out of, you know, his arsenal, then I'll be into it. I just, yeah, it's I was there last year. It was last year when he returned at Survivor Series. No, it was 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, when he came out, and he wasn't CM Punk, but it was okay. We got Punk with it.
Second biggest pop of the night, come on.
Not from me. I just sat there like arms folded and I was like, really, really, really. I'm joking. We love you.
Pouting like I hear voices. Yeah, okay.
I wish I didn't.
Wish I didn't hear your voice.
Anyway, Randy Orton, a future Hall of Famer, I'm sure. Okay, we are going to stop talking about wrestling now, because instead we are going to talk about Cody Rhodes and Dwayne Johnson, and more specifically, the soul of Cody Rhodes, and will he sell it to Dwayne Johnson? Now, Dwayne roped us all into watching SmackDown last week. Boy, they God, they should have booked a better show if people were tuning in. Because all I heard was people being like, is this SmackDown? But, you know, what do you say? Road dog. But anyway, Dwayne did this promo that lasted like God knows how long. I actually, because I'm in Ireland, so this happened for me at about 3 a.m. I at one point like drifted off and then was like woken back to sleep. And the man was still talking and I was so confused. He was talking about like his having texts with Cody, them sharing drinks together. Apparently their moms are pals. He didn't seem to know that he was on the Netflix show. It was like, you know, honestly, it was one of Dwayne's worst performances. And I've seen Dwayne from the beginning, you know, and this I thought was one of his worst, one of where I just felt like, has he still got it? Because it just seemed like he was rambling. And it did seem like it wasn't something that he had thought out very well. And I do feel like on the Netflix, like the Netflix show, fucking hated that. Like, I felt like he just like set fire to a pile of money with the promo there. And then he comes on NXT like the day later and it's like, and did the whole, you know, people online are saying things like shit that I always hate. And then we had this where he trying to maybe explain what had gone on with him and Cody, which seems like they just start texting, like, I don't know, it was awful. But I thought Cody did a good job on Raw trying to make it seem like something tangible. So my question to you is, what the fuck is going to happen when Dwayne and Cody are face to face at the Elimination Chamber?
So first I want to say I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Because I already picked it with our friends at Grapple, because I was on their Christmas special, and you guys were all excited for this Raw Netflix premiere. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna stop being a pessimistic wrestling fan, and you know what? I'm gonna get excited too. I'm excited to watch this Raw on Netflix. And all it was a 3-hour infomercial for wrestling. It wasn't a wrestling show. It was an infomercial for wrestling where The Rock nuked. He set a bomb off on two of the hottest feuds in professional wrestling, him and Roman, him and Cody, possibly a triple threat match. I was saying that was going to be a triple threat match after he came out and was doing the 1-2-3 at Bad Blood, and he completely nukes that. Triple H is telling me that this is all scripted, that he's at a typewriter, he's writing this whole thing, and he's a glory hog, and he has to come out and start the show. Then we get 4 wrestling matches. One of them include women having a good matchup, and then Undertaker grand standing Rhea Ripley's moment because, oh no, Rhea has to get a moment with the Undertaker. Oh my God. And then Punk and Seth had a great match. I mean, thankfully we ended the show off nicely, but that Raw on Netflix was overall just a bad wrestling show and a decent infomercial for wrestling.
I actually I kind of enjoyed it, right? I enjoyed the little the little Triple H opening I thought was pretty cool. And I thought that it was like a good like setting the scene. Okay, like it's scripted. But then Dwayne was awful. Like he awful. But I will say that it had CM Punk wrestling and Travis Scott was on it too.
And he's so the blind.
I would give it like a solid 8 out of 10 just for seeing Travis Scott on it.
You see, guys, she's an agent of chaos just like me. See, you see.
This was just a couple weeks after, I shouldn't say this, but well, this was a couple weeks after Dynamite used the I'm So Excited song.
And it was a couple of days after that, my first
time. And to go through that, which I just thought was so bad, and the only good part about it is that I got to show it to my mom, and her say it was terrible. And then a while after that, we were watching some advert, and it had the song "It's Raining Men" on it, and my mom went "New Dynamite theme," and I was like, "Mom, I wish you were on Twitter." and then, seeing Travis Scott come out on Raw, like that. that felt much cooler to me than what we'd seen on Dynamite. But no, it was not a good show. It was on Netflix. It was not a good show.
But you're absolutely right. We have I feel like The Rock's powers, his superpower of promos, it all he drained himself in the lead up to WrestleMania because he has not had a good promo since then. The Raw after WrestleMania was very baffling. We still don't know what he handed to Cody. All of us said it was the Rolex that Cody got everybody, but he has the Rolex. He literally posted it on social media. So he did not hand that to Cody. So what did he hand to Cody after WrestleMania?
He handed a SIM card so they could text.
Apparently it was a friendship bracelet or some kind. I don't know. Could be that he did that little goofy thing at Bad Blood that we don't know what that means either. Then he had that horrible Raw Netflix promo, and then oh my god, Stephanie, I'm back in the UK, so I stood up to 3 a.m. as well. Because I was like, I gotta watch this Rock promo. And at like 2:30 a.m., I messaged the True Hill Heat chat, and I was like, this show sucks. Yeah. Oh my god! When we had back to back segments where it was backstage interview, video promo, matches coming up next, commercial, and then I had to watch 2 minutes of that video that they played during the ad breaks. Then it was backstage promo, video package, backstage promo. Commercial again. I was like, this show is horribly paced. I had to watch Miz and R-Truth and LA Knight botch a whole bunch of moves in a tag team match. I had to listen to Charlotte Flair on commentary, and Tiffany Stratton missed that moonsault because no one would catch her. And it's like, and then I stayed around for The Rock to ramble like a drunk uncle at the cookout saying, be my champion 1,000 times. Then start coming on to Cody, caressing his face. And then he ends the promo and says he wants to take his soul. What are we doing? But the crazy thing about this, though, for weeks ahead of SmackDown, I was like looking at my fake watch on my wrist, and I was wondering, when is the road to WrestleMania going to get here? Because it seems like Triple H just forgot that we're in WrestleMania season. And through how bad that segment was, the one thing that it did accomplish is that it gave us a level of intrigue for the road to WrestleMania that wasn't here before. So I will give Rocky and Cody credit for that, and I'm looking forward to this segment. But I mean, it's quite obvious, people. I know there's a bunch of people on social media like, Cody should turn heel. Cody should accept this. No, he should not. No, he should not.
Cody is the best babyface they've had since Cena, who I don't think was a good babyface. I mean, like, he is that Cena, or, you know, before that Hogan, or before that Austin. He's that guy. Like, there's no reason to turn Cody at all. That would be crazy.
Yes. So I think that Cody is going to turn him down. But then in question lies, who will be The Rock's corporate champion? So we have one more match to discuss, and maybe I'll let you know who I think.
Should we pause the Rock talk there? I think that, I will say, though, that it is a prediction show, and we have to predict. And if we get anything about this wrong, it's very hard to predict The Rock, because I'm not sure like Triple H can predict The Rock. I'm not sure Cody can predict The Rock. I'm not even sure The Rock knows right now, you know, what he's going to do, because the stuff he's been doing recently does just seem so spontaneous in a bad way, that who the hell knows, but we'll do our best. So let's go on to our main event, the Men's Elimination Chamber. This is for the WrestleMania shot, of course, because Jay and Gunther have that one tied up. So we have John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins. How do you want to tackle this? Is there a man that you would like to talk about first?
So maybe we can go from like who we least think is gonna win to who we both are gonna think is gonna win. So
all right. I say the least.
yeah. Go ahead. Who do you think is the least?
Seth Rollins. I'll be I will not be happy if Seth wins. I think he'd be like a waste of a winner. I think he just doesn't excite me on anything. Last year, he looked like a total dweeb, to say it in like the most PG.
Thank you. What the hell was he talking about? Cody said he's the MVP of WrestleMania 40. I was like, he looked like a dweeb.
He looked really, really bad. It was quite embarrassing, the stuff that happened to him. He's definitely going to have a WrestleMania match. They always take care of him. In about 20 years' time, there will be some version of me that's talking about Seth Rollins like I just talked about Randy Orton, because he's still going to be there and he's still going to be doing the same thing. So for me, even though I can see him playing a role in other things, like, I just don't think he's winning this chamber.
I don't think so either. And I literally had people, because I've been very adamant on who I think can be The Rock's corporate champion. And I think we're going to get a hint of that by the winner of this matchup. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I've had people tell me, my good friend Romeo on Rated Raw Review on True Hill Heat, she plug. He was like, Seth is an option. And I'm like, that is such a disappointment. That would be such a disappointment.
No. So I'm going to rule Seth out. Another person I'm going to rule out, maybe you'll disagree, but Damian Priest.
That's my least of everybody in this match.
I think I get why he's there, but I don't see any point in even like discussing him. It's just idiot happening, and he feels like you know, give him the spot, yeah, because he's an ex-champion. But, you know, despite him having that little moment with Cody on Raw where he's like, you know, I'm going to come for you, like, from the front or whatever. Like, you're not convincing anyone, man. Like, but anyway, you know, good, nice TV time. I would say, okay, can we talk next about Drew McIntyre? I don't see him winning either. I don't, as much as I probably would enjoy him winning. I certainly enjoy him winning over Seth and maybe one or two other people, but I don't see him winning either.
I don't see it either for Drew. I think that Drew is going to be one of the highlights of this matchup. I love Drew going on social media and being the only one who wanted to talk trash about Cena, even though Cena gave everybody permission to talk trash about him. Only Drew took the time to make a video on social media to talk trash about him. Unfortunately, I don't know what you're going to do with Drew. Drew feels like he's Seth Rollins ahead of WrestleMania 38, where he's probably going to be the guy that you have faced, like a Malakai Black returning as Aleister Black, as the AEW star returning to WWE.
Who doesn't deserve that? But
Stephanie, that's better than facing Damian Priest again. I'm sorry. I agree with those reports.
There must be other wrestlers. There must be other available men than Damian Priest or Malakai Black.
he's kind of like at his wit's end. He's like, oh, what do I do here? Do I continue the online rivalry with LA Knight? That was interesting, but LA Knight's in mid-card L. So like
True. Okay, per Drew. Lots of love to Drew, but you're not winning. Do you want to tackle Logan Paul next? I don't think he's winning. Logan?
I just hope all these people are wrong who keep trying to book Logan Paul against John Cena or CM Punk at WrestleMania. No, don't do that to them. Don't do that to two of the greatest stars ever. We don't need that. Logan Paul, you can go into the multi-man intercontinental title ladder match. You could do a bunch of flips with AJ Styles and have a good time over there. We don't need you to go against Cena or Punk. So no, Logan Paul, I don't see winning.
I think there's value in Logan Paul, unfortunately. You know, not a big fan of him as a person, but I get the value. I get putting him on Raw. I actually thought he was good against Punk on promos on Raw on Monday. I don't know if you can take that as a hint at any future direction, because everything seems to be hinting every way on purpose. I think Logan will have a big match at Mania, though, but I'm not totally sure who against. But I don't think he's winning this chamber. So we have two men left, and you can pick which of them you would like to talk about next.
So this is the two that need to be the Rock's corporate champion. It's no, there's no other choice. There's no other choice out there. The two most interesting stories would be CM Punk being so desperate to get his WrestleMania main event that he aligns with the one guy that denied him the WrestleMania main event nearly 15 years ago. He aligns with The Rock. He becomes corporate man Punk. That's the CM in corporate man Punk. And he aligns with The Rock and he beats Cody at WrestleMania after winning this elimination chamber. That makes a whole bunch of sense. That's interesting. And you know, all the CM Punk fans want him to be heel again. And it's going to be a totally different heel character. Well, most of them know CM Punk is at his best when he's not saying insert town here. It's a great day to be on Monday night. I hate that. I tune out every time he says it.
I've been accused of being more than a CM Punk fan, and it is true. He is one of my favorite men in the world, not just on Raw, like in the entire universe. I like him being this like cookie cutter baby fit. Like, it's so not him, but to me, like, there's a deep comedy in him resorting to this. Like, to me, there's a deep comedy in a man like actually trying to fight another man in another company and then turning up in this one and just being like, hey kids, I'm like, he's like Mr. Rogers or something, like, hey, everyone's happy. I find it just deeply funny, but I understand what you mean. But I feel like, would I like this or would I not like this? I think I would like this. I think with Punk, so what do you think that Punk's favor is with Paul Heyman, because Roman is not in this match, but he, like, does he loom over it, or how do you connect that?
So I set this up by bringing up Punk first,
right?
Because he's not my pick.
Okay,
my pick is John Cena. John Cena has been hitting us over the head that his story for WrestleMania is chasing number 17. He's also hit us over the head that he's gone 4 years without winning a singles match. And we have to tie up the loose end of everything that happened at the Royal Rumble with Punk, Rollins, and Roman. So I think that Roman Reigns will return Saturday night at Elimination Chamber. He will somehow get inside the chamber. He will spear Seth Rollins, costing him and eliminating him from the Elimination Chamber. And we can have a little close-up. You know, WWE love their close-up looks, where you have Punk looking shocked after Roman spears Rollins, and he's the one that gets the pin. He looks at Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman's like this, like, that's the favor, here you go. And then he turns around, and Roman spears him, and Paul Heyman is shocked. That wasn't the plan. This was supposed to be the favor. He spears CM Punk. John Cena puts his arm over Punk, gets the 1-2-3, and the build to Cena versus Cody is all about Cena having the angels on his shoulder, all the C Nation on his shoulder as the angels, and the devil is The Rock. The devil is The Rock, who's saying, I want you to be my corporate champion. I want number 17. I want to see you make history. Me and you can be at the top. And Cena's like, no, I'm going to rise above the hate. I'm going to be. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give in to you, Rock. And then at WrestleMania, he hits him with attitude adjustment after attitude adjustment. Cody kicks out. He has no other choice but to succumb to the devil's plea. Son, succumb to the devil's plea of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And he batters Cody with not 16 chair shots like Stone Cold at WrestleMania 17. No, 61 chair shots to Cody Rhodes, pastors him, gets the 1-2-3, gets number 17. And we close WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas with the biggest headline possible. The white whale that never does WWE thought we never thought WWE would give us. John Cena turns heel and he aligns with The Rock, and we get the two-man Hollywood power trip. And that is the heel force that all these baby faces WWE has built up can go against. And we get a transformed John Cena. No more jorts, no more t-shirts. He's coming out in suits. He's got the comb over. He's hiding his bald spot. We do the Time Is Now theme with an actual orchestra and a piano. We got actual flutes. Boom, boo, doo, boo. Boom, boo, doo, boo. We got a saxophone player. Boom, boo, doo, boo. It's going to be a totally, and no longer is he John Cena, he is Mr. Cena. Mr. Wow. You call him by his proper name, Mr. Cena. John Cena, number 17 at WrestleMania, and he wins this Saturday at the Elimination Chamber.
Wow. Firstly, sucks to be Cena getting Dwayne Johnson on your shoulder when Sami Zayn is carrying Cross. So you're predicting a kind of a almost like Hollywood Hogan-esque turn for Cena, which, you know, what you're saying sounds very interesting. Now, I'm not a Cena fan, so I don't have that attachment to Cena where I care about this, you know, comeback and his retirement tour, even though he's another guy I've seen his entire career. He's just never been one of my guys. So I just don't have that attachment to him. I think your idea is really good, but I'm not sure if they're brave enough to do it.
I don't think so either.
By that I mean the whole of WWE and like John himself, because staying babyface for your entire career when people have said, hey, we don't like you, you should turn, and like just like always being a babyface to then do it right at the end is pretty wacky, and it's pretty brave as well. So, but it does make sense with Dwayne and John both being Hollywood stars. And I think my other thing about it too is that it seems way too thought out for the erratic nature of Dwayne Johnson. So yeah, I don't think that Cody is accepting The Rock's offer at all, right? Because he is the John Cena, he is the baby face. I don't see CM Punk accepting it because I just can't see them working together, though I could see that thinking about it in a business way. I could see Dwayne seeing like the money in Punk, so go with him. But then you have the whole Roman thing and the favor. I don't think I can see John accepting it either. But then I think we're all thinking that if Cody doesn't accept, then someone has to accept. But does someone have to accept, or can The Rock do something to fuck things up like in another way? Do you see any way that the Mania match would be three people, so Cody and two other wrestlers? Or are you seeing it as like three ways suck, but just for the
book? Yeah, I could see it where it is Punk, Cena, and Cody. I could see them doing like maybe a double pin or something like that. Like they could easily make KO and the unsanctioned match, KO and Sammy, the unsanctioned match, the main event, and they can run this right before the main event and actually act like it's an unsanctioned match that is after the real show. And they can do like a double pin with Cody, with Punk and Cena, and that's how we get our three-way. Or you can have Punk win the Elimination Chamber and then Cena just basically declare himself for the WrestleMania main event like he did the Elimination Chamber. There's a couple of ways they can go with a triple threat. I just find it too intriguing. And I know there's people that are going to be like, oh, you know, Punk is the better guy to do it. I'm not thinking about, you know, what we want. What we think is going to be the better story. I'm thinking about what's the better headline. What's the better headline? ending the show with your two big Hollywood superstars, John Cena and The Rock on top. So that's why I have, and John Cena has basically painted it out to us that he's going for the title at WrestleMania. Regardless of how much y'all want it not to be that, it's going to happen. John Cena is going to challenge for a world title at WrestleMania. It might be too soon to some of y'all. It's not too soon. I don't want to go multiple months of John Cena chasing number 17. Just finish the story at WrestleMania. Just do the story now. To let him turn heel. It'll only be a short-term thing where he'll go to SummerSlam as a heel, and then he'll probably turn back babyface. So you could still sell your merchandise. This is the last great time for us to get a great John Cena story. John Cena staying heel for the same babyface for the next 12 months, there will be no great John Cena stories. It'll just be him putting over people like we've seen for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Most of the predictions I've seen online from other people just talking has been Punk. And maybe I'm being too logical, but because he has this favor with Roman hanging over him, I just find that all too convoluted to be that he had a favor with Paul Heyman and now he's making a deal with The Rock. I just think that's too convoluted. I think that things were a lot easier and felt a lot better when The Rock was in the Bloodline storyline. Like, obviously the Bloodline versus Cody had to end, but I just think it was much better and easier when it seemed like Rock was controlling the new Bloodline, Solo and Jacob, and Solo seemed like a bit of a fuck up, and then you thought like maybe at Bad Blood he could come in and be like, hey, you're not doing your job right, you know, Dad's got to step in, the final boss got to step in. But I was like, he's abandoned his entire family after showing us that big family tree. He's just like, you know, fuck these guys. Actually, the money's over here.
Now I need a brother from Cody. Like, what? You have a whole family tree? You showed up.
It's so wild. But I think I am going to go with John Cena. Now, obviously, commiserations to Punk if he doesn't get a Mania main event. There's always next year, Phil. We're rooting for you. But I feel like Cena is going to win the title again. Even though it's meaningless, I always think it's meaningless to have, you know, that many title reigns when it's more impressive to hold a title for a year or something and not end up doing it for like 17 times in your career. But, you know, it's wrestling. But I think it's going to be Cena. And I think that it will be Cena and Cody at Mania. But if John Cena does do a heel turn, I will be shocked. Like, I will be shocked because he's held off on it for so long that,
this will probably be the greatest moment of my podcasting career if it does happen.
It will be very Hogan-esque, you know, with the NWO turn. So it has been done, someone like that. I think it would at least be something interesting to John Cena, because I do not think that John Cena is a great performer anymore. I do think he's very boring in the ring and on the mic. And we have been, I saw someone mention in the chat, and yes, that Rumble press conference where he just put himself in the Elimination Chamber, and that, you know, like, that was it. That was, you know, him drawing on some kind of, you know, bad guy acting there that we don't usually get from John. So I don't know. The best thing I can say about John Cena is, like, I really did laugh at Ricky Stenicki. I know it's not a great movie, but God, those scenes when he's singing in the club,
John Cena. Comedy. He's pretty good at the comedy movies that I've seen of it. But I really feel like the press conference was basically Total Bellas, John Cena. Have you ever seen Total Bellas season one? Yes, that's the John Cena heel character that I want.
I just remembered that a couple of weeks ago I showed Beto the scenes from Ricky Snicky where Cena is making every song about masturbation. And I was laughing so hard. And Beto was just straight faced and went, I'm going to need some context for this. And I was like, you don't need any contracts, right? John Cena.
You don't. Perfect.
It's like, what's funnier than that?
It's John Cena. Come on.
Okay. We are more off track than Dwayne Johnson right now.
No Carolina needed.
So I'm going to predict John. I can't say that I fully buy that they're going to do everything you said, but I'm only saying that because like what you said was too good that I just do feel like they aren't as brave as you. But it would be one hell of a wild ride if they did it, and intriguing. But yeah, do you have any final thoughts on the Elimination Chamber and what we're going to get on Toronto?
For a four-match card that it is, four matches and a segment that it is, it's probably the most anticipated that I felt for four-match, five-match merchant Triple H, which I hate. Yeah. I hate the pay-per-view should have more than five matches, Paul. Just saying.
How many do you think they should have? Because I would say five or six, because notoriously, I think that Tony Khan's are too long.
Yeah, I think the AEW sweet spot for a pay-per-view is 8 to 9. And I think that's the sweet spot for them, that they always tend to have their better shows when it's stuck to 8 or 9, like Revolution last year, All Out last year, All In last year. Those are their best pay-per-views. They've had 8 to 9 matches. For Triple H, I think, yeah, the sweet spot is about 5 to 6 matches. That's why I wanted Rhea and Io on this card, to make it a 5-match card. And I think I would be very excited. I'd be like an 8 out of 10. I'm at a solid 7 out of 10, mostly because I am into the Rock soul catching against Cody. So that's like a 5th match within itself for me. So
I think like when it comes to, you know, like it's so hard to compare the length of cards with WWE and AEW, because with AEW it is like match, and there are too many matches because even if they're all graded, you don't get breathing points. Whereas WWE ones, it's like match and then advert, promo package, something else, you know, like
just there has to be a middle ground, right? There has to be a middle ground.
There has to be, like, yeah, it's a lot.
New Japan is really the middle ground, where New Japan does agree, do match, but they have the breathing room where they do like post-match, where we watch the guys go from celebrating a match and then going all the way to the back, and then it sets up for the next match. There's no adverts in between. There's no video packages for all of them, only like the final few matches. That's kind of the middle ground that I like, and that's why New Japan is still my favorite promotion right now.
At least because it's a pay-per-view, we won't get that, because I know you're in the UK, so you mentioned it earlier, that weird thing that you get on SmackDown and NXT, where it's just someone standing in a ring, and then every language comes up at the bottom. Like, what is that?
Like, what is that? Why do I have to see Tama Tonga and Tongaloa posing like this for 40 seconds and stuff like that? It's like,
it's so weird. It's like, they have so many little adverts, segments, whatever, that they could just put in instead. Like, and the music to it, it's like, it's annoying, like haunting elevator music. It's not as bad as when I would watch it on in Canada, on the Canadian channel that carried WWE. Now I forget what it was, whether it was TSN or whatever. And when it went to these breaks, it would just be silence. So you'd be watching Raw and everything would be like, ah, like screaming and a noise. And then it was like this, like 3 minutes of silence for you to contemplate your life. And then you were back in it. And I was just, that always just freaked me out. It's like the silence of it just, I really didn't like that. But I don't like these little, they're like video game loading screens or something, things that they're doing either. No. Well, anyway, SP3, wow, we went like over an hour there. Thank you so much for joining me. I knew you were the man to get, because you always have these very thought, like when I ask you who's going to win, it's not just picking a person, you have these very thought out directions, and I think the one that you've given for Cena, I mean, the ball's in your court, Triple H, to top what SP3 has put forward. But I'm sure everyone watching knows where to find you and what you do. But please tell everyone just in case they need a refresher.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for asking me to be on today. You're one of the rare people in the game that whenever you ask me to do anything, the answer is going to be yes. I always used to have a great time on your channel. I remember doing that fantasy booking card for Forbidden Door. That's one of the best guest spots I've ever done for anything. Of course, I remember our days doing Wrestling Daily all those weeks a couple of years ago, and I used to love when we used to be able to team up together. So whenever you need me for any prediction show, and especially if this show doesn't work out like the World's End 2023 show, I hope you could call me again for this year, so just in case I can have a good one that we can discuss.
This is no way this could go the way of World's End 2023. There would have to be a major fuck up.
Hey, Rock might have some Terramata, you might go down. You never know. But thank you for having me on today. Yes, you can find me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. Go to SI.com, the takedown on SI. I just released my top 10 greatest WWE women's wrestlers of all time list. I'm currently getting buried on your local social media right now about it. So go over and check it out. Read the article. Don't just see the list. Actually, read the article because I explain everything. You don't have to ask me on social media, why is this person number one? Why is this not on the list? Actually, read the article because I explain everything. I give you a criteria. I give you honorable mentions. So go over and check that out. I will be back on this channel in a few hours at 9 p.m. Eastern time with Kate to do our ROH post show, my final stream of my 4-stream day that we've had today. So thank you so much, Stephanie. And like I said, anytime you need me, I'm here.
That's absolutely wild how much streaming you do. Yes, everyone come back at 9 p.m. for more SP3. That's awesome. But you're talking about Ring of Honor. How you get a whole show out of talking about Ring of Honor, I don't know.
I don't know sometimes. See, I need to do it with lovely people like you or Kate, because you guys bring out just crazy ideas in my head, and I have to come up with crazy ideas to make Ring of Honor interesting nowadays. So
I can only imagine. That's real commitment that you go to the depths of Ring of Honor there. But everyone, thank you so much for watching. Thank you, SP3. It was great to have you back. We've known each other such a long time, so it's really cool that we can come together like this, and it feels like we've never, not that we haven't spoken, but you know what I mean. Like, we hadn't done a show since that World's End in 2023, but we don't need any prep to do anything together. It always just works out. For me, you can find me on Substack. Just look for Stephanie Chase there. That's where I do my writing. There should be another story out next week. You can find me on Blue Sky at Stephanie M. Chase. You can still find me on X, but I just don't like it there. You can find me on Instagram at Stephanie M. Chase as well. You know, I just don't like it there, SP3. I don't like it there. I'm not sure I like Blue Sky either, but I like Twitter less. Excellent.
It's a bad place where people told me my list lost credibility because I didn't put Fabulous Moolah, sex trafficker.
Hey, look, two weeks ago, I was getting people saying to me stuff along the lines of, I haven't read this, but you're totally wrong and you're a liar. But I'm not reading this, but.
But let me tell you what I think about it.
Yeah, it's always good. Okay, thank you once again, SP3. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I'll be back next week predicting AEW Revolution. So until then, bye.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.